Without further ado, Candice is a well-known friend, sister to Hillside, and she runs Hope WA, who does an amazing job with all different denominations around Perth. She gears them up. She champions the pastors and the congregations to pray. I would say if Candice was not here over the last 5 years, the church in Perth would not be geared up so much. She's a champion. She's an encourager, and she's a great friend of ours. Why don't you welcome Candice?
Good morning, everyone. Always good to be back at Hillside Church. Thank you, Pastor Carey, again for the invite, and Sally. Man, God is so good. I just want to echo that this morning. And in that goodness, He is unfolding a word for you here this morning. So the message is just going to continue that flow of what God is trying to speak to you as a congregation. So that's very exciting to me. Pastor Carey didn't know what I was going to be speaking about today. And he called me a few days ago and talked to me about the Thanksgiving thing that was on his heart. And I said, yes, Lord, thanks for that confirmation. So you may not identify it right away, but it will come at some point, and you'll begin to see how God is bringing everything together this morning. Amen? Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here today as your sons and daughters in your house gathered together to worship, to pray, and to hear what you have to say to us from your word. And I just ask for a grace upon all of our hearts to hear what the Spirit is saying to us this morning and what it is you have for each of us to take a hold of today. In Jesus' name, amen. So at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, God began to speak a word to me that was very simple. He kept whispering it to my spirit, and it was simply this: Candice, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. And along with that, he gave me that scripture of Peter walking on the water towards Jesus. Do you remember that? And as long as Peter was looking at Jesus, he was going along smoothly. But then he turned his eyes away from Jesus, and he began to look at the wind and waves all around him, and he began to sink. And personally, I was in a season where that was happening for me. And that's why he kept saying to me, Candice, look at me, look at me. It's why he kept whispering it in many different ways to my spirit and giving me this story. And he kept finding creative ways to bring this story to me. This actually is a picture. When I was home last year in November, I went to this Christmas production, and they were advertising what they were going to be doing in a drama production the following year, this year. And I walked in, and it was on this huge, massive screen, this picture. And I'm like, okay, I get it, I get it. Look at me. And for me, what I had gotten my eyes on were the disappointments. So it may be different for all of us as to what we're getting our eyes off of Jesus onto. But for me, it was disappointments that were happening all around me. And through those, he was saying, look at me, not at the circumstances. And we've heard that word circumstances coming through at least twice already in the words that have been coming to us today. And Jesus is saying, look at me. Remember who I am. Remember how much I love you. And look to me for perspective in your situation. So that was going on in my life, in my heart, in my journey, and in preparing me for 2018. And at my home church, up at One Church Perth, we decided that we were going to read through the Bible together throughout the year. And back in February, I was really struck as we were reading through Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and the story of Israel, the number of times they as a people were doing this very same thing. They were taking their eyes off their miraculous and mighty God that just delivered them out of Egypt with all kinds of great signs and wonders. And instead, they kept focusing on their circumstances. And every time they did, this flood of grumbling and complaining would just overflow from their hearts. And I want to show you what I'm talking about. I want to take you through these scriptures this morning. So we start in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. What has just happened as they have just crossed the Red Sea, and then Miriam and Moses go into this incredible worship song of celebration, of giving glory to God. They say things like, "The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy in the greatness of your majesty. You threw down those who opposed you. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders by the power of your arm?" Next minute, they come out of this amazing worship service. In chapter 15, verse 22, it says, Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert. For 3 days, they traveled in the desert without finding water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses. "What are we to drink, Moses?" And God graciously provides water by asking Moses to throw a piece of wood into the water to make it sweet. Go to chapter 16, verse 2. In the desert, there they are again. The whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and we ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." What does God do? He graciously provides them manna. What a good, good God. Isn't he gracious? Isn't he merciful? So we go on to chapter 17. Again, there's no water for the people to drink. But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" I've just not read the same scripture. This is a different scripture. Same grumble, same complain again. And so what happens this time? God says, "Moses, strike the rock and water will come out of it." Isn't God good? Isn't our God a God who provides for us, who's merciful towards us? Now we're going to skip over to Numbers chapter 11, where the story continues and is unfolded more. Numbers chapter 11. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. I want to remind you of what God told Moses about who he was. What did he say? He said, "I am the God, the Lord, the compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, full of unfailing love." God is slow to anger. It doesn't mean he doesn't get angry with us. It means he's slow to anger. And we have just discovered there have been 3 or 4 times where the people have come to him and they've grumbled and they've complained to him, but he's not responded with anger because he's slow to anger. But now we read, his anger was aroused. And there is a consequence this time for the people. The consequence is he sends fire to burn the outskirts of the camp. So in his slowness to anger, he doesn't go right to killing anyone or destroying anyone. He brings fire to the outskirts of the camp as a warning to the people. There are consequences for your grumbling and your complaining. And so we go to, that's verse 1, and you go to verse 4. So they've had this fire on the outside of the camp, and then it says the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We never see anything but this manna. So God is gracious, and he provides them manna. But he also says, you're going to eat it until you loathe it. Well, we come to chapter 12. I wonder if this pattern is going to change. What do you reckon? In chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron begin to talk against Moses. They begin to complain against Moses. And we discover that God is not very happy about this. And he first comes and he speaks to them. And it says in verse 9, the anger of the Lord burned against them. The anger of the Lord was aroused against these two leaders who were coming against Moses, the prophet, his leader that he had called to lead them in this journey. And when God goes away again, it says that Miriam was found to be with leprosy. And it required Moses to intercede for her healing. I feel like the Lord wants to give a warning this morning. God takes it very seriously when we as a people grumble and complain and oppose our leaders. And there are consequences for that in our lives. God takes it seriously. We need to guard our hearts against that. Miriam gets leprosy. And Moses intercedes for her. Her spiritual leader intercedes for her. Her spiritual leader expresses the grace and the mercy and the intercession that we see in Jesus Christ. And as a result, she's healed. So it's also a word to us as spiritual leaders. That's what he's looking for from us in the midst of opposition too. You go to chapter 13 and 14. And amazing journey that the men and women make, and they go explore Canaan. And you remember, the 12 came back, and 10 of them came back with a bad report. We can't do it. They're too big. They're too strong. There's giants in the land. And it says that after this bad report came about, and it filtered through the whole community, that night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. What's the consequence this time? Well, it's gotten a whole lot worse by now. The consequence is they are denied entrance into the promised land. And they and their children have to suffer for 40 years roaming around in the desert. And those men that grumbled were struck dead. I would think by this time, everybody would be getting the picture and an understanding in their hearts of the importance of not grumbling and complaining, wouldn't you? Well, we go to chapter 16, and we find Korah and these other men that rise up to oppose Moses. They should have already learned their lesson a little while back about what God does when men and women oppose his leaders. And in their case, their consequence was that the earth opens up and swallows them. And then, after all this happens, what do the people do? The next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. You have killed the Lord's people. And what's the consequence from the Lord from this? Well, about 15,000, almost 15,000 people die from a plague. And more would have died if it had not been for Moses and Aaron interceding on their behalf. I love the picture of the leadership in these stories and their heart of intercession and prayer in spite of what their people were doing. God has challenged me with that so many times. He wants that kind of heart in me as a leader. Before we go to the last example, I want to pause for a moment. You see, the simple message for us today is that grumbling and complaining in our lives is a clear indication that our eyes are not on Jesus. And these grumblings and these complaints carry consequences in our lives. Maybe not right away, maybe not the first grumble, maybe not the first complaint, but when they keep coming out of our hearts and out of our mouths, there is eventually going to be a consequence that we experience in our lives. So let's get real with this truth for a moment. How many times already this morning have you grumbled or complained about something? Maybe just in your mind, maybe you didn't even say it out loud. Think about the last week in your relationships, at home, at work. Have you grumbled about your politicians? Have you grumbled about your coworkers? Have you grumbled about your family members? Have you complained about your pastor or others in the body of Christ? I'm asking the Holy Spirit right now to just remind us wherever grumbling and complaining is at work in our hearts and our lives. I'm asking him right now to bring revelation, bring those things to our hearts and our minds so that we can respond to them this morning. Where are we grumbling and complaining? Where is that lodged in our hearts? You know, unfortunately, this story that we've just gone through with the Israelites is a story that many of us are very familiar with. As parents, we grumble and complain about our kids. As kids, we grumble and complain about our parents. Spouses grumble and complain about each other and to each other. Brothers and sisters, any brothers and sisters in here today? We grumble and complain about each other. Students, we complain about our teachers or the homework they're giving us. We complain and we grumble about our work situations or the people that we have to work with. We grumble about our health when it's not going like we want it to go. We grumble when we don't have what we wish we had or we think we should have. And we grumble about what we do have that is causing stress and trouble in our lives. We complain and we grumble when people don't do what they said they would do or what we think they should do. We grumble when people annoy us. We grumble when we simply don't get what we want, whether that's finances or a relationship or a job or an answer to prayer. We are quick to grumble and complain. And the reason for that is our default is the same as the Israelites. Our default is often our sinful nature. And so what God is bringing to us today is a reminder, first and foremost, that he hates our grumbling and complaining. But secondly, there are consequences to our grumbling and complaining. And that he wants to be at work in our hearts and our lives to change and transform that default so that something else becomes our default. So for this last scripture in Numbers 24 that again reveals this flowing picture that we see in Israel, Numbers 21 verses 4 and 5, for this scripture, we're going to actually listen to a preacher who is from the Ukraine, but he has a church in the United States. And this clip is part of his sermon on spiritual warfare. We heard a word about that this morning, about spiritual warfare and how we need to war. And this is going to speak into that as well. But he's highlighting areas that if we participate in them, they're like open invitations for the enemy to attack us or oppress us or deceive us. So in his last point, he goes to Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 6, and he deals with this issue of murmuring and complaining and grumbling. And he reveals how there are consequences for us, just as there were for Israel. But he also gives us the solution and how to overcome. So hang out for that. Now, as we come to the video, I don't know, for some of you, he might be a bit intense. He's a bit in your face. So I want to encourage you to listen for what he's teaching us. Because what he's teaching us is powerful. All right? And it's revelation for us. So Pastor Vladimir is his name.
The last one. Murmuring. If you have your Bible, I'm going to read in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 until verse 6. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and there is no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit people, and many of the people of Israel died. I genuinely believe, I'm not talking about occasional murmuring, I'm talking about a murmuring that has become part of your character. That opens the door to demonic. Write this down. Murmuring or complaining does to Satan what worship does to God. God inhabits the praises of his people. Satan inhabits the complaints of his people. God seeks such that worship him in spirit and in truth. Satan seeks that complain to him and grumble and whine. What worship does to God, grumbling, complaining, whining does to Satan. It's an open invitation for a snake bite. You might not have a snake in you, but you will have it bite you. It's important to see this. That murmuring and complaining is a character issue, not a circumstance issue. Israel had more miracles happen to them in the wilderness than many of us will ever experience in our life. It's interesting. None of the miracles ever fixed their complaining problem. The problem wasn't with circumstances. The problem was with character. It took one thing not to show up on time, and they go again, whining and complaining and complaining and whining. And I want you to remember today that your character is not made up because of your circumstances. It's a byproduct of your choices. To blame your character on your circumstances is to blame your mirror for your bad hair. Your mirror only reflects that you have a bad hair. Your mirror didn't make it like that. Your circumstances only reflect that you are a complaining person. It didn't make you a complaining person. And Israel complained, 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 complained. And this was their character. And yes, they always blame the circumstances. Anytime people blame the circumstances, anytime people throw a self-pity party, anytime people live in this, whoa, little me, all of that is a character. It's not your life situation problem. And your character is a result of your choices. Your character is the result of your choices. And the first change will happen, how your character gets changed, if you stop excusing your attitude and blaming it on your circumstances. Your life might be tough, your life might be rough, but at the same time, it is your character. And that character opens the door for the demonic. Having a conversation with Bob Larson, he told me something that really puzzled me. He said, Vlad, two people can commit same sins, even a cult. They can be, two people can be involved in a cult. One person quickly just repents and everything is done with. The other person, he said, will have a demon torment them for the rest of their life. And I said, well, what is the secret? He says, emotional and mental weakness. He says, I've dealt with over 30,000 demonic cases and I can tell you one thing. If people grew up and inside of them there is that healthy emotional strength, he says, demons are repelled by that. He says, you have to understand, demons respect human will. They respect human choice. And they respect strong character. That's why you see people who are ungodly many times, who will not even have demons because there is a strong character that is full of positivity and it repels demonic serpents. Demons are attracted to complaining people. And maybe you excuse yourself today and you say, the reason I am negative, the reason why I complain, the reason I whine all the time is because my life is tough. I have a newsflash. You won't like it what I'm going to say. But the reason why you're a complaining person, because you are a complaining person. That's all. This manna that God gave them, that was a miracle. You know what they said about it? Worthless. Why? Because when you're a complaining person, you look for things to complain. You could praise God for a manna. It's angel's food. You say it's worthless. Why? Because a complaining person, like a magnet, only gravitates and finds things to complain about. And unfortunately, not only you're hard to live with, not only you, it's hard to have you as a sibling, it's hard to have you as a spouse, it's hard to have you as a child, not only it's hard to have you as an employee or an employer, it's good to have you in the kingdom of darkness. Satan and demons, we see clearly, fiery serpents started to bite complaining people. You know what happened when they bit them? They became poisoned. Remember this, complaining tolerated is faith contaminated. The way these demons hurt you is they contaminate you inside. Where your faith is contaminated, you don't see beyond your present situation. You don't see beyond your sickness. You don't see beyond what somebody said. You're stuck. The time is ticking. You're stuck. Everything moves forward except you. And what those demons do, they infuse you with poison. They contaminate your faith. And when your faith is contaminated, you're disillusioned. You're disoriented. You're confused. Everything is dark. You can be in the same situation as other people, but you're lost. The only way to fix complaining. The only way to fix complaining is to replace it with thanksgiving. That's all. There is no deliverance. You can't be delivered from this. You can only make a choice to be thankful. Bible says in Thessalonians this. In everything. You have a job or you don't. People like you or they don't. You got laid off or you got promoted. You're sick or you're healthy. The doctor's report came positive or negative. In everything. See, God knows what opens the door for the demonic. And God is warning us and He is encouraging us. He says, not for everything, but in everything. You feel good or you don't feel good. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. You want to know God's will for your life? Praise Him in everything. You want to know what God wants you to do in this season of your life? Thank Him. In everything. See, most of us say Thanksgiving is only for something. But God says Thanksgiving is in everything. You know what we're thankful for? In Psalm helps us to understand. In Psalm 100 verse 5, it says this. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. This scripture revolutionized my praise. Because like many of us in here, I thank God because I have a house, mortgage paid for, my car didn't break down, beautiful wife, I have a ministry, my health is good, gaining new followers every day on Instagram. Praise be to God. That's a very big praise report. Everybody seems to like me. I have a watch that I like. I have a phone that I like. And I have everything nice. And so that is what I'm thankful for to God. The problem with that kind of a thanksgiving, it takes my phone to fall from my hand on the ground. And my thanksgiving went down with it. And God says in here what to thank Him for. One of the reasons we don't thank God is because we thank God majorly for wrong things. He says to thank Him for this. For the Lord is good. See, we're thanking God because I am good. We thank God because my health is good. My finances is good. My relationship is good. But sometimes when it's not good, God says, still thank me because the Lord is good. I feel good. I don't feel good. But God is still good. Can somebody say amen? And then He says this. His mercy is everlasting. That means my situation is not everlasting. My situation will not last. My sickness will not last. Even if I don't get healed, when I die, my sickness will die with me. Amen. My problem will not last. God's mercy is everlasting. And then He says, and His truth endures to all generation. That means nothing will endure in my life except God's truth. What God says about me will endure. That's why you have to praise. That's why you have to thank. If you don't develop a character of gratefulness and thankful to God, you develop a sour disface. The demons are... You come to church and demon says, ah, we got one today. We got one. They'll sit in church and we'll still hurt them. You can be on the worship team and have a bad heart. Character. You can be in a leadership team and have that character. It takes one small thing. One thing pastor said. One thing somebody did. Somebody said or somebody gossiped. And that's it. And your face is sucked out. Somebody took a vacuum and took all of that stuff out. Because you're never really thankful to God because He is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. You were thankful to God because you have a job and because you have clothes and because people like you. And that is a wrong reason to thank God for. Your character must be. Avoid empty of complaining because that opens the money. Even if you like to complain, you cannot take the chance because demons will come to you. You will feel that in your soul. Spirit of heaviness, spirit of fear, and spirit of depression.
He said it so much better than I could have, so it just seemed right to have us listen. What is God speaking and revealing to you about this issue today? What about your heart? In summary of what he said, I just want to highlight them. First of all, God inhabits and responds to the praises of His people. He seeks for us to worship Him in spirit and truth. But Satan inhabits the complaints of people, including ours. 1 Peter tells us that our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan is looking for those who grumble, complain, and our grumblings because we open ourselves up to a snake bite. And with that bite, we are poisoned with further complaints and lies and disillusionments and depression. Could some of the things that we are experiencing actually be a result of our complaining attitude in that situation? in my life, in that relationship? I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help make these connections in your heart and mind today between our complaining and our grumbling and the manifestations and the consequences that we're experiencing in our health or in our lives or in our relationships. Because often we are experiencing some consequence and we're like, Lord, why is this happening? And for some of us, it's because we are complaining and grumbling and murmuring in the context of that situation instead of giving thanks in everything. Secondly, murmuring and complaining is not a circumstance issue, it's a character issue. Whatever is happening in my life, I have a choice of how I'm going to respond to that. And today, thankfully, is a new day where His mercies are new every morning, every day. And today, we can make the right choice. Today, there can be change in response to how we are going to respond to that particular thing. Thirdly, complaining tolerated is faith contaminated. And this is the one that really struck out to me most in my journey, in my life, because I realized that when I got my eyes off of Jesus and I focused them on the disappointments and I was complaining about those disappointments, my faith was contaminated. This faith began to be sucked out of me for the things that He'd called me to do and the person that He'd called me to be. Our complaints, our grumblings suck the faith right out of us. It weakens our faith. We struggle to believe in who God is and what He said to us. We struggle to connect with God, to hear from God, to be close to God, to encounter God. If that's you today, if you're struggling to hear God and connect with Him, maybe it's because of this issue of grumbling and complaining in your heart and your life. Fourthly, only way to fix complaining is to replace it with being thankful. Thankful to God for who He is, what He's done, for His goodness, His mercy, the amazing grace that we started singing about this morning at the beginning. For some of us this morning, it might be a habitual complaining, grumbling attitude that God's highlighting today. For others of us, it might be a particular situation, circumstance, relationship that we keep grumbling and complaining about. Whatever or wherever you fit in this morning in either of those categories, the way forward is very simple. Number one, repent. And number two, replace it with thanksgiving. Very simple. So I want to invite you to bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask the keys, Kay, if you could come, please. So is the Lord highlighting anything in regards to this issue in your heart and your life today? The first place we begin is just agreeing with God, confessing to God. Confessing to God, agreeing with Him. I've been complaining, I've been murmuring, I've been grumbling. God, I bring that before You today. I am sorry. Will You please forgive me? Just take a moment to do that right now. Just ask for His forgiveness. It's just looking into your heart and bringing that heart in humility before Him. God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for my words of complaint, my words of grumble. I'm asking You, God, that You would begin right now to purify my heart and to change my heart. I'm asking God for grace right now that you're empowering grace to change the way I think and respond to my circumstances. Help me, God. Help me right now. Begin to bring that opposite spirit of gratitude. Let it rise up from within my heart right now. And Father, we want to thank you that as we come before you, that your blood speaks a better word over our lives. That when we ask you forgiveness, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we want to thank you that your blood is powerful to cleanse and purify and forgive. And so we receive your blood and the word that it speaks over us right now in Jesus' name. We receive the forgiveness that you extend to us right now. And God, we ask that you would right now begin to set us free from any fiery serpents that have been attracted to our complaints. We ask, Lord, that you would speak that word from heaven, that you would speak that word of judgment against the fiery serpents as we have confessed our sin and as we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, that you would release angels right now to drive out, pursue, and afflict the enemy of our souls that has sought to kill, steal, and destroy and poison us. We declare that you are a defeated foe, that you have been defeated and destroyed through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We declare that through the cross, you have been disarmed over our lives right now in Jesus' name. So thank you for the release of those angels right now, God, all over this place, wherever this issue has taken root in our lives. And over this church in general, Lord, I just declare a defeat and a destruction to the spirit of grumbling and complaining and murmuring. I declare you are a defeated foe, that you are not welcome in this place, that this is Jesus' church, these are his people, and they will be thankful in all circumstances. Because God is gracing you right now to be a thankful people like never before. He is gracing you right now to have a shift and a change in your hearts and your minds and our lives towards being thankful in all things. And that when you do enter into that place of grumbling, complaining, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to convict you immediately and give you the opportunity to release the thanksgiving and confess any complaints. Thank you for that. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. I ask you right now, if you've asked for forgiveness for this today, that you just invite the Holy Spirit in to come and fill that space and help God to give you perspective in your situation. Ask him to empower you to respond differently from now on. And give him permission. Give him permission to convict you whenever you step back in to that place of complaining or grumbling. Say, God, I give you permission for your spirit to immediately bring it to my attention, and I commit to dealing with it immediately and responding in thanksgiving instead. And all God's people said, amen. What are we going to do now? We're going to stand. And we're going to give thanks. Let's just go back to that song. You know, again, how God chose the songs for this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come up. If the rest of the worship team can come up, that would be awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just believe right now for a change in the atmosphere over our lives, for a change in the atmosphere wherever it is needed over this church, where there might have been grumbling and complaining against one another, against your pastor, in your families, in your homes, in your workplaces. Believe for a changing of the atmosphere right now as we intentionally step out of grumbling and complaining and we step in to this life of thanksgiving, as we declare a change of our character that is being brought about by the grace of God, by the power of God. Thank him Thank Him. Thank Him as we sing this song for your family. If you've been struggling and complaining about finances, begin to thank Him right now for what you do have. If it's been your circumstances that you've been complaining about, then thank Him for those circumstances and what He is doing in you and through you and among that circumstance that you may not have seen or known or understood up to this point. If it's a relationship that you have been grumbling and complaining about, as we are singing, intentionally begin to bless that person you've been struggling with. Pray for that person and give thanks for that person as we're singing these songs about the goodness of God. If it's your circumstances, if it's your health that you've been complaining about, can we trust God this morning in the midst of that? Trust yourself. Trust your body to Him afresh. Thank Him for the parts of your body that are healthy, that are working well. Thank Him for your ears that can hear the word of the Lord this morning. Thank Him for your eyes that can see. Thank Him for the things that are working, and entrust what is not working afresh to Him this morning as you give thanks. Amen. Amen.